Welcome to Highly Questionable. It is a coincidence that we had an NFL, meaty NFL race story, and Dominique Foxworth and Bomani Jones are here today. However, I look forward to their insight. It's a coincidence. Do not give me that skeptical look, Dominique. Let's get started.
Is Phil Jackson actually the reason that the Bulls didn't stick together for one more run?
Man, if he had stayed there, he'd be better at forgiving than he was at coaching basketball after what Jerry Krause said about he wouldn't come back if it was 82-0 and putting a lame duck coach in the way of history. I have been surprised and was surprised consistently in this documentary that while we buried Jerry Krause again and again posthumously, Jerry Reinsdorf sat in the middle of this thing, and it feels like he went largely blameless when Jerry Reinsdorf could have solved all of this at any point. I don't put it on the players. I don't put it on Krause. I don't put it on Phil Jackson. The owner had money. The owner did not want to spend money, and that franchise has been plagued since by the mom-and-pop way that he runs the place. He said that that Chicago White Sox championship meant more to him than all six of the Bulls championships, and he behaved with his payment structure like that's how he felt.
All right, but here's the thing. How exactly were you going to keep this gang together? It has been interesting that NBC Sports has been running excerpts of Jerry Krause's unfinished and unpublished memoirs, and he said that Phil Jackson told him that he did not want a rebuilding team. That team had reached a point where it was time to rebuild. I don't get the feeling Michael Jordan wanted to play on a rebuilding team. So who were you going to try it out there, right? Were you going to try it out broke down Scotty? Was it going to be Dennis Rodman, who played 35 games for the rest of his career after leaving that? How exactly were you going to keep the gang together? Now, my question about Phil Jackson is, did Phil just want to walk because it was time? Because clearly all these things are very, very exhausting to everybody that's involved, right? Would you put it past Phil Jackson to decide himself that he did not want to come back after that season and then tell the team that he was being forced out because they needed something to galvanize themselves around? Is that terribly dissimilar to what Sam Smith says, which is basically that Phil Jackson was one of the big sources of the Jordan rules, and then Phil comes in front of the team and explains to them, we got to band together against these external forces, when he is the manipulative external force? He just happens to be in there. Are you telling me that's not possible? Because I think it's possible.
It's certainly possible. It's also possible that he had his eyes on what was happening out in L.A. earlier than we all know he did. All that stuff is possible. But if you're going to assign blame, I don't think you can assign blame to one individual in this whole process. You can point to a lot of different people. The thing that I found mind-blowing, though, is that Jordan acted like all these people was going to pass on their payday. That's the thing that I thought it was difficult to get over. Everybody was about to get paid, and Reinsdorf said it in the piece. Everyone's going to get paid more than they frankly deserve. That is everybody's dream. That is the true American dream, to get to a point where you get paid more than you actually deserve, and they're all going to pass up on it for what? For a seventh championship? Nah, that championship ain't going to put no food on that table. Not that they needed food. It ain't going to put no rims on them Bentleys or whatever they were going to be buying going forward. You know what does? Doing a signing trade with Houston, or a signing trade with San Antonio, so that you can get that bread, which is what Kerr did and what Pippen did, and which makes a lot more sense to me than coming back so we can get the band together so we can have one more last dance.
Hello, Dominique. The best part was Jordan was going through. You asked Judd to come back for a year, he'll do it. You asked Steve to come back for a year, he'll do it. You asked Dennis to come back for a year, he'll do it. I don't know about Scotty, though.
Yeah,
like, this is where
Scotty.
It all falls apart. Yeah. Scotty ain't coming back on you. Scotty just went out there with a broke back. You think he's coming back for one more year?
And Krause's defense, though, he did have them in the position. That trade that they vetoed for Scotty, that was going to net them Tracy McGrady, like, that was the way to avoid all of this. Maybe you don't get that last championship, but maybe you prolong the dynasty and get more championships, transitioning from Scotty to T-Mac.
If you remember Jordan's tenure with the Bulls, at the end he was an employee. And the idea that we're watching him on television last night for the first time getting an explanation from Jerry Reinsdorf on why that got broken up is insulting and disrespectful, and a reminder yet again that even Michael Jordan is an employee when it comes to the way these owners think and look at these guys.
By the way, fun fact, Michael Jordan is worth damn near twice as much as Jerry Reinsdorf.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Like, net worth.
Yeah,
I Googled it. Mike parlayed this into being richer than the owner of the team, who actually doesn't like own all of these teams. He's just the man in charge.
I mean, I didn't realize that was possible. That is the essence. That is the seed of a rap lyric somewhere along the line. Like, I didn't know you could do that.
Yes. 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 That is the most excellent thing that Michael Jordan has ever done.
Coming up next on my Soul Stevie show.
Dominique, I cannot believe that you are out here after thinking it's a dumb idea. You are out here advocating for bribery because you didn't like your allies. You didn't like the allies in your mentions. I've been there. I know when people start agreeing with you a little too much and you say, oh, wait, they love waving around the black guy. Look at what he's saying about this. You don't like your allies on something and then you move your position.
Oh, yeah, I must not have been right.
GEICO has the insurance industry leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
Are the proposed incentives for diversity hires a step backward for the NFL?
I actually winced while reading it. I winced. You know how long it's been since I've read a sports story and winced at the appearance that you're saying, hey, the NFL, it values draft picks more than it does black intelligence, more than it does black leadership. It has to incentivize in a way that's a little bit offensive. All of that said, and I don't know if these two things are allowed to coexist, I'm mildly encouraged, as stupid an idea as this is, that they're trying to do something. They're trying to figure out a way to solve a problem that doesn't seem solvable unless you get black ownership or minority ownership.
Yeah, the difficult thing about solving this problem is the problem happens to be the people who run this league. Like, it's hard to vote on solving a problem when you are the problem. So I started out being very appalled by this and kind of pushed back by the idea of incentivizing them to make these type of hires. But then I started looking around and seeing all the people that agreed with me. So that made me realize that I must be wrong. And now that I think about it, I think that incentivizing them to make the right thing is the best thing you can do given this situation. Like, if you want to change behavior, there's kind of that old stick and carrot philosophy. So you're either going to incentivize people to do the right thing if doing the right thing is not natural to them, or you're going to punish them for doing the wrong thing. So I understand that this is clumsy, but there is a way that you can consider incentivizing people to do the right thing that's a little more tactful and is more effective. Or let's just start firing owners. Let's vote on who should be the next owner in the NFL rather than allow them to continue to select it. Because that's another thing that happens. They have to vote on letting someone into the club. So let's say the hypothetical situation shows up where there's a woman or a minority who has the money and has put together the capital, because let's be clear, not everyone has all the money in cash to buy it. So the idea that no people have the money to buy this, no people of color have the money to buy a team is a BS one. But let's say they get to a situation where they are ready to buy it. We then have to put that to vote to the same people who can't even hire a black coach.
Look, man, the real Mr. Biggs is the only one that has a solution. If you want to give that incentive structure that you need to get the owners to do right, get you 12 and take that thing to trial. Because the way that you got the Rooney Rule was Johnny Cochran showed up and threatened to take that thing to trial. And now all of a sudden, people had solutions. In fact, it should be called the Cochran Rule, not the Rooney Rule, because it was Johnny Cochran that actually made this thing happen. If these dudes aren't willing to hire black or brown coaches to make their teams better, they're not going to do it to move up 10 spots in the third round, right? That's just not going to be enough. They already have the greatest incentive you can think of directly in front of them. You have the opportunity to make your football team better. It's right there. The reality is they don't believe these guys will do that. For whatever reason, they cannot shake off the idea when they see a black coach that this is the thing that fits. It took a while for them to shake off the idea that black athletes weren't good enough to compete. Please keep in mind, there was a time where the argument against black athletes is that they weren't as athletic as white dudes, right? None of this stuff actually makes sense. But the owners themselves, as Dominique said, they are the ones who are the problem. You're going to need a much bigger incentive structure than this. And I'm telling you right now, the same people that they put all them flags everywhere on the broadcast for, because that's what they love to see on TV. Let me tell you what they don't love to hear. How you making it easy for black people to get work.
Dominique, I cannot believe that you are out here after thinking it's a dumb idea. You are out here advocating for bribery because you didn't like your allies. You didn't like the allies in your mentions. I've been there. I know when people start agreeing with you a little too much and you say, oh, wait, they love waving around the black guy. Look at what he's saying about this. You don't like your allies on something and then you move your position.
Oh, yeah, I must not have been right, because a lot of people that I know are always wrong on issues of race was like, hey, Foxworth, you're right. So I had to rethink it. And I think that the issue is, when I think about what the actual problem is, it makes me uncomfortable. And that's fine. That's not a problem. That's something we can get over. The other argument that I've heard presented is like, then you send the guy in a job and have people believing that he didn't deserve the job. Hello. That's what's going to happen anyway. Guys already show up at jobs and people think that they don't deserve to be there. Like, that's part of progress. And you think about anything from Little Rock 9 to any other time when there was change made. Unfortunately, the disadvantaged group is going to have to step out there and they're going to continue to pay a larger price. And that's going to be part of the price that we pay, lest we trying to overthrow the league and get some real owners in there with more progressive thoughts.
As if somehow I would rather not have a job than have a job and then have people looking at me funny. Here's my question for you. When's the last time anybody thought some white dude needed to think to himself, you know, I may not have deserved this job after all these centuries of racism. It's possible that I'm getting a leg up. Not a one person say a white man need to feel offended about getting a job that he didn't deserve. Y'all also concerned with my self-esteem when it comes time for me to get a job. Well, what if you didn't deserve it? You know how much stuff I've deserved in life that I've never gotten? That ain't how things work. If I got the job, I got the job. I don't ask the white dudes to apologize for getting these jobs they ain't got no business getting. Don't ask these dudes to apologize for a job that they probably wholeheartedly deserved in the first place.
True. And trust me, black people are comfortable, unfortunately, with being somewhere and feeling like people are treating like they don't belong. Back before when we was allowed to go out the house, every time I went to a fancy store, people treat me like I didn't belong until I pulled out the credit card. So it's something that we are accustomed to. If you are a black man in America, you will be completely okay with going in there and people treating you funny. You're going to figure out a way to win.
And by the way, if you want to know, like, when a black dude gets a job that he absolutely does not deserve and is wholly incompetent for having, let me tell you who gonna be the first people to let you know about it. Us. We don't like that neither. You know how people always tell you, well, there's only some positions where they hire the coaches to be from, right? They'll tell you, well, you know, the problem is he's a running backs coach, and they don't hire running backs coaches. That's not because they running backs coaches, it's because they black. Like, Raheem Morris became a wide receivers coach with the Falcons. After being a defensive coordinator, he's been a head coach. He's had a 10-win season because he thought that being on the offensive side, that's what they say. You got to coach on offense, and then they'll give you a job. Raheem Morris is back to being the defensive coordinator now with the Falcons, because after all that time being wide receivers coach, when's the last time you heard his name come up anywhere?
Coming up next on my Soul Stevie Show.
He's been doing it for damn near 3 decades, nonstop. He will corner you, and he will love Michael Jordan, whether you want to hear about it or not. Here's some more of it.
Okay, this is the last of the last dance. Got to wrap it up by picking my favorite Bulls team ever. There's no tricks here. I'm not going to go back to the 70s and pick Chet Walker. Everybody thinks the best team is the 96 team, the team that won a league record, then league record, 72 games.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with Geico? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today. Napa know-how.
Father's Day knickknacks, that funny mug, ironic tie, or worse, IOU coupon books. It's time to get yourself something you want, Dad, like a Craftsman half-inch corded impact wrench for $99.99. It's the perfect gift to give to yourself. And while you're here, don't forget to shop all our great deals on Craftsman tools. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Offer ends 6/30/20.
On Wilbon's Twitter, more ramblings about the Bulls.
Oh, he has been luxuriating in all this Last Dance talk. He has been bathing in it, slathering it all over himself. He cannot get enough of talking about Michael Jordan. He's been doing it for damn near 3 decades nonstop. He will corner you, and he will love Michael Jordan whether you want to hear about it or not. Here's some more of it.
Okay, this is the last of the Last Dance. Got to wrap it up by picking my favorite Bulls team ever. There's no tricks here. I'm not going to go back to the 70s and pick Chet Walker. Everybody thinks the best team is the 96 team, the team that won a league record, then league record, 72 games. That team, my favorite team, is the 92 team. It was before expansion. I think the schedule was tougher. I thought the teams were tough, had a 3-0 lead on Seattle that swept Orlando. People think that's the historic team. That's the best team. I'm not going to argue. Well, I'm going to argue a little. And, of course, the 98 team, which is a favorite of a lot of people, not as good as the 96 team, not as good as the 92 team. So in order for me, 96, 92, 98. My top three Bulls teams.
Sane, unemotional yammering. I was surprised. I thought we were going to get something that was talking down to millennials. Bomani, are you intrigued?
Where is the transition point for fathers where they start off ridiculing kids for wearing their caps backward, and then at some point they take whatever that beat up hat is and it comes out of drawer, because at that age it don't matter if your cap still holds its shape and you just throw that thing on back. Like, I just want to know when that point comes in life. When is this going to happen to me? Right? Is it happening after you have children?
I think that is after you have children. It's after you have adult children. And then there's another step that takes place amongst black fathers is after you have grandchildren, you then go with the leather cap, you turn it back forwards. Like, that is the cookout attire. Dan, I'm sure you're unfamiliar with this, but if you've ever been to a black cookout, you've seen an older man in a leather cap and also some Jesus sandals.
Do you know how much I like food? Thank you for watching. Highly Questionable on television. Dominique Foxworth, you can find him at The Undefeated. Bomani Jones, check out the podcast. A lot of podcasts out there. Not a lot of them are different. This one is The Right Time with Bomani Jones. Check it out.
Dan, how lucky are you to have us on a Monday? This great, all this great race stuff happened on the weekend. What if it would have happened on a Wednesday? Then what y'all gonna do?